Hi, it's Wilson here, and first of all, thank you very much for downloading the Trailers podcast from the FFL. We do hope you like it. Actually, key to liking it this month is me letting you in on a little secret. We don't record the podcast on the day you listen to it. Well, I mean, that is obvious. But in this case, we planned the podcast in late February. Yeah, I know, planned, but you know. And we recorded it in the first weekend of March, talking about the trailers for films that were due in April at the time. And it's quite likely you're aware of how the world's changed in between then and now. So as a result of COVID-19 coronavirus, since March 1st, avid players of our game will already know that the movie release calendar's changed just a tad, and especially the movies that Smith & Birch are going to talk about on this podcast in a few seconds. So the guys' views are still valid, and the impact of the movies to the game is still going to be valid, but only a bit later than we thought. One thing's for sure, somebody somewhere's going to make a movie about all this stuff. You know, this preamble could feature some background intro soundbites or something. At least it would if I'd put more effort into it. Damn it. Right, boys, over to you. What do you think about what we might have been able to watch?
Okay, so we've had problems in the past of me picking trailers for movies that aren't actually coming out. So I've done a lot more research this week, and I'm super confident that that is not going to happen this time around, okay?
Okay, so we haven't got another Ad Astra situation then?
No.
Okay, hang on, let me have a look at the list. Okay. Well, you started with Bond.
Well, you started it comes out at the beginning of the month.
No, hang
it's
on.
The first
and then,
one out
and
of
then
the month.
You've got, no. No, look, this list is good. But we're going to do it in reverse order, because the order is rubbish, but the list is good.
Oh,
But you can't start with Bond. You've got to end with Bond.
Welcome to the April trailers, where Mr. Birch is already in a bit of a Bond mood. Kind of excited, really, about Bond. Just can you pay attention?
I'm trying to
kick this podcast off.
Sorry, what month is it?
It's April.
Okay, cool. We've got loads to go through. We've got 8 trailers to go through.
Yes, so it's a busy month. I had to filter a lot. I mean, there are a lot of other films coming out, but they're only sort of on one side of the Atlantic or the other. These are all like your mainstream.
So these are all coming out
like,
both sides, same time.
I think maybe one isn't, but the majority are
okay.
Simultaneously launched.
Well, I've got my hand on the button today, so we're going to start off with True History of the Kelly Gang.
They look crazy.
So it's very Peaky Blinders, isn't it?
In Down Under.
Peaky Down Under Blinders.
Yes, indeed.
Struth Peaky Blinders.
And it's based on a true story.
But everyone has an English accent. And I was like, it's not very Australian. And no sooner had those words left my lips than Russell Crowe turned up and made everything approximately 915% more Australian.
Indeed.
So, good cast.
Yes.
So you got Charlie McKay.
Yep.
Charlie McKay?
Yes. George McKay.
George McKay, I'm sorry. George McKay.
Charlie Hunnam.
Thank you. Charlie Hunnam, who's just come off The Gentleman. You got George McKay, who's just come off 1917. And you've got Nicholas Hoult, who's always quite good for a laugh.
Russell Crowe. And the other person we've got is Thomasin McKenzie.
Yeah.
So actually, if you've got, if you put in, for example, George McKay for 1917, you may want to hold
which
on.
Which I have.
For this, right?
So yeah. So,
or like you said, Charlie Hunnam from The Gentleman. So this is one of the reasons I put this on the list. It's good.
So you might
to
want
know.
To hang on. So if you because yep. Charlie Hunnam would have made you your money back from The Gentleman, mm-hmm. and George would have made you a fortune in 1917,
and only a few weeks before it comes out.
So you might want to hang on.
Although I should note, it's all well. Whopper thinks that this came out in the UK on the 17th of February, but I think that was the early like preview because
stuff,
I saw this trailer at the cinema
long
ago. So I believe it's going to be coming out simultaneously in April.
Whopper does occasionally fall for fake news.
It's only
human. Well, partially human. Well, the harvested remains of it. We don't get into that. Mm. Whopper's internal logic is something that I'm pretty sure we broke some sort of international law.
But
anyway.
It does like 18 films coming out in April. You won't believe what's at number 3.
yeah, he's not good for that.
Total psychopath.
But it looks quite good. It looks.
Yes, it's a grown-up film.
Yeah, It's got a very Revenant look to it.
In terms of
its look and feel.
Yeah.
So it's going to all be naturally lit. There's probably going to be moments where you can't hear or see what they're doing or saying.
Yeah.
I think there's
definitely more to the story than he was the guy who went around with a bucket on his head.
Yeah. Although they do have that.
It does have like a cult inside a cult type sense to it. But anyway, yeah, looking forward to that.
Looks good.
And so, for the game, an important film for the game.
Yeah,
I don't think it's gonna
bother the top five too much.
I would be interested to know if anyone sort of got George MacKay for One and Done, because that might have, you know, maybe a really strong pick, because he's going to be top billing, right?
That's right.
And we talked about top billing last time.
So yeah, he's going to be top billing for that. And Charlie Hunnam's going to be probably supporting. So yeah, I mean, George MacKay, because I've got George MacKay in my cast, because I put in a cast for 1917 and Bad Boys.
Mm. So you've got a tough choice.
I've got a tough choice. Cause do I scrub it? Because Martin Lawrence did well for me from Bad Boys. So, okay.
Decisions to be made.
Right then.
Should we move on to the next one?
We'll move on to the next one, which is Antlers. Now this looks like a horror film.
This is straight from the Mr. Wilson folder of freaky films.
All right, well, as you know, we're not a huge fan of horror films, but let's give it a bash and see what it looks like.
Nope.
Good trailer, though.
Yes.
So it's all very atmospheric, and there's only one word said in the entire trailer,
thing, which
I think kind of maybe spoils the film slightly. Okay. So I'm not going to say it because you kind of go...
One-word spoiler for a whole movie.
It's not bad, but it looks like a kid.
There's a new game.
That's fun, isn't it?
Oh,
Sinks.
Oh. Sinks. Right, next time, I think we've just found a game. Anyway. Right,
okay.
Focus.
So basically, it's about a kid who's kind of looks a bit weird. He's going looks around like collecting roadkill.
Yeah.
And he's feeding it to some sort of monster in
a cabin.
Attic.
Or in his house,
yeah.
In the woods,
yeah.
You know, it's got all your tropes.
It looks like the thing, but and then it has from the visionary director who's not directing this one, but he's involved in some way, Guillermo del Toro. Now, I'm going to be a little bit controversial here. I don't think he's all that.
What, Guillermo? Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That's not a hot take from you then. It's not gonna...
I know where you're coming from.
Yeah,
I know where you're coming from. I mean, there's a lot of love for him, and he's done some seriously good stuff.
Pacific Rim.
But there's also that. Okay. And I don't want to open that can up, so let's put that can back on the shelf.
That film, if it's timed well, it'll do well, but it's a horror movie.
So, people to know...
You've got Keri Russell, though, who was in Star Wars. She was the woman who didn't see in Star Wars. Oscar Isaacs definitely put in there to be a heterosexual love interest for her to get away from the whole bromance thing. Love interest. I don't remember what her character name was.
I hadn't deconstructed that.
I'm pretty sure what her character name was, obvious straight side piece, but it may have been a bit more Star Warsy. But
Indeed. And she
was in The Americans, which is a really underrated TV show, which a lot of people here have seen. So it's really good.
And I think she'll probably be top billing by the looks of that trailer. And then also in support, you'll have Amy Madigan, who seems to... I don't recognise her, but she's looking at... I think she's been in The Hunt, American Woman, Stuck.
She's a strong supporting player.
She's a character actor, as they say.
But I don't think that's not going to...
And possibly worth a shout, because not very expensive.
Yeah, it might be a punt. Yeah. If you're feeling lucky, I think.
And there's not met much in the way of horror around in April, so it might, you know, it may be one of those ones that sort of, it may not even get in the top 10, or maybe if it gets good word of mouth, it might be, you know, because by this point, I don't know what A Quiet Place 2 will be doing. Will that still
good
be
point.
Around?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Or if it's gone, will they sort of pick
so people
up?
May quite like their jump scares. And there was that one with Katie Holmes and the doll that came out recently. Allow me to qualify that statement. Katie Holmes and...
Not Annabelle...
No, the kid's got a puppet or something. Anyway, listen, whatever. We need to move on. Speaking of films that I don't think will bother the top 10, we need to look at this. I'm literally looking at the poster for this film.
And
I've
looked at it
and I've
judged
already
it.
Judged
you've
it.
Already judged
already
it.
Already judged
so
it.
So judgmental.
It's called Dream Horse. Dream Horse. Okay, first of all, belated high five for the Based on a True Story call.
Oh, yes.
You definitely went.
Called
you
it.
Went, it's Based on a True Story. I was like, based on a true story. Okay.
But I timed it. It was one second before it came up on screen.
It was impressive. I'm very impressed. Well played. Second thing to notice is Toni Collette.
Yeah.
Is there an accent that woman cannot do?
I know. Well, she's doing a far better Welsh accent than someone else we know who's in the charts at the moment.
I can do a far better Welsh accent than someone who can't mention the charts at the moment. So basically, this is the true story about a Welsh village which is kind of economically depressed and down on its luck, and they decide...
That's all Welsh villages. Sorry for people
basically all chip in, buy, train, and race a horse.
Yes.
Now, this can only end one of two ways, like woohoo or crushing disappointment.
And I think, single, based on the music, it's a woohoo.
A single Google, or something a close single to it. Google search will negate your need to watch this film.
It's a Sunday afternoon film.
It's a Sunday afternoon, it's 3:30, and it's raining outside film.
But the thing is, there is a demographic for this film.
Right? Oh, yeah. No,
this is the most exotic marigold hotel slash Downton Abbey demographic. This film will do okay.
Absolutely. It looks nice.
And I don't think we've seen anything yet that would like draw that demographic away. So it's not going to go in at the top.
No.
It'll come in the middle.
No.
And it might track along for a few weeks.
It's going to do far better in the UK than it will in the US. And I say this, and if you're Welsh and listening, no offence, because I'm foreign as well, but they may need to subtitle some of it, because Welsh accents are quite tricky for people who aren't, you know, listening to them all the time. So
now
it'll do well in the UK. Damian Lewis is in there.
And he's not in the system. We need to put him in. Or if he is in the system, Whopper missed him off the cast.
Right,
list.
We'll put him in the system.
So
we'll
Toni Collette is the only person you've got for options right now.
Okay, by the time this comes out, Damian Lewis will be in.
She might just make you your money back, I reckon, on this.
She's
maybe.
Quite expensive, yes.
Obviously, she was in Knives Out recently, but no one will have her because that was last
year. That was ages ago.
Right?
Although
Knives
Out
is
still running. Knives Out was still threatening the top 10 like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but remember, now we're in like mid-April.
No, I know. I'm just saying.
I think, unless you got her, maybe maybe people will one and done put her in. Who knows? But yeah.
But everyone else in that film is somebody that you will recognise if you've watched Doctor Who from 2005 onwards. Because it's every Welsh character actor who is available. So there's one guy I saw and I went, he was in Torchwood. Yeah, he was in Doctor Who. Yeah, he was in the thing. Yeah. So it just looks nice.
Yeah.
So, okay, I can't say anything else. Next, we're going to go on to Promising Young Woman, which sounds promising, obviously. So, Carey Mulligan's really cool. So she first bounced in. She was in an episode of Doctor Who. It's been Doctor Who heavy this week.
Oh,
she was in Blink.
Yeah.
So and
around that time she was up and coming and very cool.
And I've just said to you before we started watching the trailer, I said, you know, I would have liked to have stayed in that program for a while.
Yeah.
And then she probably would have had a very similar career trajectory to Karen Gillan, who did 2 years in Doctor Who and is now doing Jumanji with The Rock, etc. And Guardians of the Galaxy, etc., etc. Carey Mulligan did a few films that were all a bit art housey.
Yeah,
and
like
then
Drive.
She kind of disappeared.
And things like that.
Yeah, she did Never Let Me Go. She did the one with Michael Fassbender, who was a sex addict, but I can't remember what that one was called.
Oh, yeah.
She was his sister or something like that. Yeah. But a couple. And then she married the lead singer from Mumford & Sons and disappeared into beigeness for a few years. Hey, you know. But then, so I was saying, going, meh, and then this film starts, and she basically starts as a woman who's drunk in a club, and a guy picks her up, and it looks like he's taking her back to his house, and he's about to take drunken advantage of her, which is not cool, by the way.
Not cool.
And then there's a little bit of a squeaky violin thing, and I went, is that Toxic by Britney Spears? And you went, yes, it is. There was an additional high five. Again, a lot of high-fiving this trick. And then it looks
We're calling it. We are like owning these trailers.
And then it looks as if she's deliberately pretending to be wiped out drunk.
Yeah, she's got like a book with lots where she's like she's counting off the number of times she's done it.
Is this like a serial killer thing? So this film suddenly just goes whoosh,
and the trailer doesn't quite. It doesn't let you. It doesn't telegraph what the film's about. Because maybe it's a going into like Secrets from the Past. Maybe it's a psychological thriller. Maybe it's a serial killer thing. And it's sort of like it's sort of weaving around a bit.
She's looking quite good now. clearly the role was written for Gwyneth Paltrow, who then said no to it.
Really?
You can see it. She's got the Gwyneth Paltrow look and feel about her. And obviously either Gwyneth Paltrow didn't want to do it.
Look and feel.
You rewatch that trailer and you cut and paste.
Right, okay.
You cut and paste Carey Mulligan for Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah. Do you think Gwyneth Paltrow is a little too old for that?
I think that she either said no or it's been bouncing. I reckon, I haven't looked it up. I'm betting this is one of these scripts that's been bouncing around for a while.
Oh, like a blacklist.
Yeah.
It does look interesting. It's kind of
very
like
interesting.
It might be, maybe a little bit like Knives Out. It's got that twisty.
I think you might be right. Yes.
Yeah. That does. It did win us over.
It did
over the course of the.
I went in feeling extremely negative, and I came out going, "I'm so going to go and see that film." So that's on the list.
Yeah. So the only other person other than Carey Mulligan who you could pick right now is Christopher Mintz-Plasse. Now I particularly love.
Yes, Brody. It looks like Adam Brody's in that as well. Adam Brody? We'll put him in as well. Yeah, so we'll add those guys in.
Christopher Mintz-Plasse, I always like to mention him because he has the longest name in the league.
He does, and he causes us slight formatting issues, doesn't he?
He does. He's Christopher Mintz-Plasse ..
There you go.
My phone. Yeah, there you go.
Okay, right. So that's definitely a film I'm going to go and see, and here's a film that I'm also definitely going to see for different reasons. Trolls World Tour. Be honest, that looks quite fun.
I tried my best to be grumpy and old.
Yeah.
And even I was laughing and smiling through it. I think it is like the Grinch's heart growing a couple of sizes watching that trailer. It does look like if you started to watch that, I think you couldn't help but enjoy it. And it's like, oh, okay, there's going to be some pop songs, but then they start bringing in like the rock! And the hip hop and other and country and all other kinds of music. So yeah, I imagine it would be a fun film. The chances of me seeing this are zero because I have two teenagers who would like. Run a mile before they would admit that they enjoyed that film.
The chances of me seeing this film are 100%.
And that says so much about where we are in our respective family lives.
So yeah, so basically second film. The first Trolls film did remarkably well. Anna Kendrick and Justin Timberlake. It's funny. It was good. It had kind of two sides to it. It's a really good example of the fact that you kind of go, hello, grown-ups. We're really sorry you're here, but we're going to put in just enough double entendre humor so that you're still going to feel it funny. But the kids are going to miss that.
It's on the right side of the divide. It works on two levels. The
first film was,
in a good way.
The first film was quite funny, and Russell Brand got eaten at the end.
Okay,
which I'm very sorry.
Now, really important for us is not only has it got Anna Kendrick and Justin Timberlake in. It's also got Sam Rockwell, who is like, if Sam Rockwell's in it, it's like doubles the chance that we'll go see it for you. You've got to look out for Sam Rockwell. Country Troll, do you think maybe? Do you think, where do you think he'll be landing?
Well, I mean, Sam Rockwell is known for his ridiculous dancing, so I'm just, I don't know.
And also Jamie Dornan.
Jamie Dornan's in, that's going to be funny.
Those are the four are currently in the system. Now, we've got to remember this year you're earning about a quarter income for voice actors, which is up from the 10% for last year. And these are the films that stick around for a long time in the charts. So, if you can find someone who's cheap.
Justin Timberlake is really cheap.
Currently, at the time of recording.
At the time of recording.
Price is correct at the time.
Anna Kendrick is really cheap.
Yeah, I didn't know if you wanted to call that out or if you just wanted to like
just be very quiet. How about we put the film in now and then
and change the price? I think some of the players might not like that.
I know that might come down. You're going to make a fortune if you pick the cast of Trolls because
potentially, and that's the first time we've had an animation that might kind of.
That might profit you.
Be impactful.
You do realise that currently there is somebody listening to this podcast who had put his whole plans on putting the entire cast of Trolls in and no one noticing and is now sitting on a public transport system swearing loudly at us going, "Damn you, Birch! I can't believe they meant it! It was my one chance!" So, it looks funny. And funny's good. We like funny.
I think this is one where the scale out works, as in making a bigger world, bringing in those different music genres, actually is probably going to make it more. Because some people are like, is it like 2 hours of pop music? I think, but now that you know that there's different types of music out there, I think that could be bigger than the first one potentially.
Okay, and well, we got another sequel.
I'm kind of horrified to think that.
Another sequel to talk about. A film that I didn't want to like, but was forced to actually really enjoy for a couple of reasons we'll go into, and a couple of detracting reasons that we won't. But Peter Rabbit 2, The Runaway.
Okay, I didn't see the first one, and after seeing that trailer, I'm not particularly inclined. And compared to Trolls, I know which of the two I would pick.
Basically, no.
I don't know if I need to sort of see Peter Rabbit's therapy sessions, which seems to be partly what's going on in that film. Although there's an interesting meta thing where, you know, because the film was nothing like the books, and then now Rose Byrne's character writes the books down and makes it all cutesy, which is sort of acknowledging the fact that there's a total difference. So now, like, the cutesiness, everyone thinks he's like a goody two-shoes, and that, so he's rebelling against that.
The first film was quite funny.
Yeah,
it had some good moments.
That has, like, pathos and stuff going on.
That just looks like they've tried to do it again. Now, Domhnall Gleeson, fair play to him, was slapstick-tastic in the first one, and it looks like he's just gone doing the same thing here.
Yeah.
Rose Byrne is Rose Byrne, as you all know. We all love Rose Byrne here. She's amazing. And doing a convincing British accent, in my opinion.
Yes.
Okay.
Possible. Now, there's some interesting voice, proper voice people.
I was going to get on to the fact that they've got the same voice cast back. Now, I'm not sure how they managed to get these people in the first place, but go
indeed.
Ahead.
Yeah. So people who you could have on the system, Margot Robbie.
Yep.
Daisy Ridley.
Yep.
Elizabeth Debicki.
Yep.
And Will Gluck.
Yep.
If there are other people who should be in there.
We're probably going to put James Corden in
there. Well, fair.
Because
fair
in fairness, though, James Corden's also in Trolls. He was the big blue guy that they pinky promised with.
So he might be, depending on what he costs, he might be or not a good buy. But there's some weird bonus people.
Yeah.
I guess Margot Robbie would be the one that people have got, like.
If you've got Margot Robbie in for Birds of Prey, you might want to hang on. Birds of Prey didn't do brilliantly. It did okay. But it didn't do brilliantly. But Peter Rabbit might get you a bump for that.
Yeah.
And Daisy Ridley's obviously.
If you have buyer's regret over Margot, maybe hang on to her a little bit longer, and you'll get some of your investment back.
Yeah. So.
Hmm.
Could be some redemption there for some people.
Possibly.
Not for the film itself, but.
No.
But again,
purely from an FFL.
Well, if it comes out during the Easter holidays or the whatever the appropriate term is in the US, apologies, then I think it'll do okay. It'll be up against Trolls. Trolls will win.
I think you're right.
But it'll be a 1 and 2. It'll be 1, 2, and 3, I think. They'll take the top slots for that week, because if it's raining here, and let's be honest, it usually is, then you'll take the kids to the cinema.
Yep.
Interesting.
Indeed.
Okay.
Right,
we're into the final two. We're doing quite well now.
Yeah.
Right,
building to the
crescendo. This one is a 4-minute trailer.
Whoa.
Ready for this? But this film should have come out, now by my reckoning, it should have come out in the early 1960s. No, hang on, sorry, that's not right. This is X-Men, The New Mutants. And there's a more interesting story behind this film than I think this film has. So, this film's interesting for a couple of reasons. One, it's got a really good cast, but they all look quite young in this film. The reason is this film was going to be released in April 2018.
80?
Yeah.
That's so it was filmed, 2 years ago. It was going to be released 2 years ago.
It was filmed over 2 years ago.
How does that happen?
So, here's the whole... Here's part of the story. So basically, it was supposed to be released in 2018, and they pushed it back to February 2019, so it didn't get in, because it was filmed around the same time as X-Men Dark Phoenix and Deadpool, Deadpool 2, but they pushed this one back so it didn't get in the way of those two films. Now, Deadpool 2 did very well. Dark Phoenix,
not so well received.
I think giving the X-Men time to fumigate would have been a good idea. But then this was a 20th Century Fox release, because they've licensed X-Men from Marvel since 2000. But then Disney bought Fox and had to renegotiate the licensing between Marvel, and then Disney bought Marvel.
What? So my brain's melting.
Yeah. So basically, this film has been delayed for a couple of reasons. One, they didn't want to get in the way of other releases. Two, X-Men Dark Phoenix did not do as well as they thought, and they want to give it some distance. And three, corporate shenanigans.
Okay. What's this film about?
Oh, yeah, sorry. So, but
it looks very dark and very scary.
In the intervening time, they've obviously taken a look at where teen superpower things are going and have taken it from the PG to the R rating. They've gone above. So
this does not look like your regular X-Men movie. This is definitely horror inflected. So
this is a group of kids who have recently discovered their X-Men mutant powers, and they've been taken to a treatment facility, which also may be some sort of
prison,
hellish, hellscape, hellmouth prison type thing. And they all have to work together to get out. I think this is a soft reboot of X-Men.
For a new generation, like a new iteration.
But I also think if it doesn't do well, they'll just go, oh yeah, it was just a standalone.
It was a standalone.
Standalone film. It'd be fine. No problem. So I think that...
I would rather they took those chances and did something new rather than just rehashing old stuff. So I'm kind of up for it.
Yeah, but I don't think the expectations on it are not going to be high.
And that's also good thing, frankly.
And because they've been bought out and they were licensed in, this film doesn't have to make any money.
Yeah.
If you know, it sounds really weird, but the costs associated with this film have been absorbed into the various acquisitions by various.
They have gone through
various
the financial year is gone.
Yeah,
right?
It so is from a passed. From a,
yeah, this
from
is a freebie.
An economic point of view, this film is just, if it does well, great. If it does badly, meh, whatevs.
Interesting. So should we talk cast for a minute?
Yes. Sorry, let's go back to the film. First of all, actually, no. The reason that I'm not going to go see this film is John Hamm was in this film and apparently they've cut all his part out.
What?
I know. Nobody messes with the hamster.
Is that rule zero?
Yes, it is. Sorry. Cast.
All right. So, Anya Taylor-Joy in it.
And, I don't know who she is.
She is in Emma currently. So actually, she is well worth holding on to.
Okay,
so,
right.
Smart one and dunners will have
she'll
spotted.
She'll look a lot younger in this film than she'll look in Emma, but we'll move
indeed.
On.
And of course, there's a question over whether she'll be top billing, because we don't know. And it could be a bit of an ensemble cast. The other notable person being Maisie Williams, who's not currently in the system. So this was actually done. This is probably done while she was still doing
this
Game
would
of
have been
Thrones,
done
just
in
at the
gap.
End.
This would have been done in the gap in between the last couple of seasons of Game of Thrones.
And then more interestingly, Antonio Banderas, apparently, according to Whopper, is in there.
Didn't see him in the trailer.
No, that is a. And now, and I'm, given, that, given the Ham incident, I'm wondering, is he actually in it? Now, worth noting, Antonio Banderas has recently turned up in Doolittle as well.
Yes.
So again, obviously, he's a voice.
So
I think.
Check the cast.
Yep.
No, I think he's a bad guy in Doolittle. I haven't seen Doolittle.
Right. Okay. Right. Fine. Actually, I could just click you through. Let's see. What do we rate him at? Because that film's already out, and he is in the supporting cast.
Right. So he's a person. He's an actual human in that.
Yeah.
As opposed to Robert Downey Jr. Yeah.
So, if you were unfortunate enough to pick him for that, you might want to
hang on.
Hang on, because you might sort of recoup some of your losses. That's
and
what I was.
You also said, it's that guy from Stranger Things.
Yes, not in the system. So he plays the brother of the kid who disappears into the Upside Down.
No. I haven't seen Stranger Things.
Not available for
picking
as we speak.
So we'll redo that cast. But this is, we've talked about this before, when films get delayed for various reasons, they'll get released out and sometimes you'll catch a break and someone will have
because you'll get someone with like multiple films in a short
period
of time.
Anya Taylor, so she seems to have caught this one. So
Anya Taylor-Joy.
So now she seems to be of a position where she actually is going to earn you double because of the way that the compression works. So
that's the fun of the game.
This should be interesting. I don't think they're going to do a massive marketing push on this film. I think they'll just let it out and see how it does.
And see if it does well through word of mouth.
Yeah, and if it dies, it dies. And I think that's I think that's interesting. And I think it's probably the riskiest thing anyone's going to do with a multi-million dollar film, because they'll just go, look, it doesn't matter, guys. It's done. It's been calculated.
Yep.
But yeah. So yeah, so that might. Ooh, I just don't know. That I think word of mouth's going to go. Everyone's going to go. It's really worth watching. Did you ever watch Legion?
Legion?
Yeah.
The one with Paul Bettany?
No, sorry. There's a TV show called Legion.
Oh.
There's a Marvel TV show called Legion about a guy who's in an insane asylum, but he's not insane. He's actually got mutant superpowers.
Oh.
But it's really good, but this has got a very Legion-y vibe to it.
Not too dissimilar to Glass as well.
Not a million miles away, although hopefully it'll end better. rather than just random dude drowns him in a puddle.
Spoilers.
Right. The moment has arrived, but do not panic, for this moment has been prepared for. It's another random Doctor Who quote in there for you. I'm just on a roll today. It's time to die. No, sorry, we have no time to die. We have no time to die. Let's just watch the trailer.
That looks pretty solid, but then...
Exotic locations?
Indeed.
Check.
Yes.
Whipping the cover off an Aston Martin? Check.
Oh, yes.
Woman who is massively inappropriate for James Bond's age? Check.
Massive amounts of gunfire?
Massive amount of gunfire? Check. Daniel Craig being a little bit snippy with someone? Check. Someone being hugely posh going, find me Bond immediately? Yes. Check.
Villains with a bit of a foreign...
Villains with a foreign
accent in air quotes?
Tick. Other exotic location, which is definitely not the first one because it's covered in ice.
Yep.
Check. Impossible stunts. Check.
Yes.
We're done.
They are done for Bond. They have got all the elements. Hopefully it all stacks up.
So
I'd like it to be a good one.
I'd like it's the last one.
Yeah.
This is the Avengers endgame of the Bond. No, but terms of... So Bond...
Craig cycle.
He's been Bond since 2005.
Wow.
So it's 15 years, which is
that
quite
is
a long
serious.
Time.
Yeah.
So... The big question, it's very clear, no time to die, he's injured, he's old, he's been replaced by someone else who's the new, there's a new 007. So
Danny Boyle wanted him dead.
Now, this is the thing, they're not going to have the guts to kill him, are they?
No.
They can't kill him.
I don't think so.
So now they're going to have to just reboot the whole thing
at
for the next
point.
Bond when Henry Cavill's in it.
Yeah.
33-1, 10 down, 10 quid down.
Exactly.
That's my big question. So, for example, Marvel films.
Yes.
Stay with me.
Yeah.
I'm not massively psyched about Marvel's films because I feel I've got to the end of the story.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't have to jump back in again.
I
probably will watch them, but I'm not going to be queuing up to see Doctor Strange 2 or Black Widow or whatever it is. Even though, I'll watch them, but not like meh. Recently, I've quit watching some TV shows, which are all kind of interacted, and they had a massive crossover thing in all these TV shows.
Marvel TV shows?
No. I watched another TV show.
Okay.
And I stopped watching and went, right, I'm gonna stop here, because that's the end of the story.
Yeah.
The risk is, if they end the story here, and they end Bond, they finally regenerate him into the new Bond...
Will people get back on?
No, yeah, exactly.
But they've done it many times over. They've never killed him in the story.
Explicitly said, you're old, you're crap, you're retired, there's a new 007,
she's taken your job. They won't do it.
They can't kill him.
They won't do it because they've never done it before. And there's too much inertia around that.
Yeah.
Although then they'd never done... When Casino Royale that came, they did make some changes. So, But I believe, famously, Danny Boyle left doing this movie because he wanted to kill them.
And
unless they're doing an amazing double bluff, but I don't think that. I just don't think.
I don't think they can. I think
that doesn't necessarily mean it. It won't be a good film.
Oh no! Don't get
me
wrong.
Lots of things point in the right direction.
Oh yeah! No, absolutely. Right? But. I just think that they have to... the story is ending.
Yeah.
And that's it. Daniel Craig's Bond is going to ride off into the sunset.
But I think
my question is, what are they going to do next? How are they going to get it back?
Maybe they'll rest it for a little while. Just for a little while.
No.
I guess it depends how well the film does.
No. Will they rest it for a while? It made $1.3 billion. Please make me more of them, please.
Yeah.
Skyfall made a ridiculous amount of money. Spectre, which wasn't a very good Bond film, made an absolute boatload of cash.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Okay. Shall we talk cast?
Let's talk.
Obviously, Daniel Craig, reassuringly expensive.
Reassuringly expensive.
Probably going to make his money back.
Well, if you live in the UK, you are contractually obliged to go and see this film.
This is true.
This is the film
yep.
that people who don't normally go to the cinema, they will go and watch a Bond movie. So honestly, there's an economic thing on this. Restaurant business goes up because people go out for
a meal beforehand, or afterwards.
A meal and then watch a Bond movie. Right. Because it goes, have seen...
The Bond effect.
The Bond effect. There is a thing because everyone will go, I'll wait till DVD. No, I'm going to go and watch Bond film because Bond has been with us for 50-something years now.
Yeah.
And
it's cross-generational.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'll go and see it. Kids will go and see it.
If this is the last one, it's got the Avengers Endgame thing.
Exactly.
Okay, so it's going to be big.
Because you're going to want to see it before... you're going to want to see it before somebody goes, oh, it's really good at the end and everyone dies. And you go, oh,
right.
Dude.
Now, I believe Kari Joji Fukunaga...
He's the director.
...is the director. He's also available. Not quite so expensive. Probably a good investment. But... a wide supporting cast. So we've got Jeffrey Wright.
Yep.
Ralph Fiennes.
Yep.
Christoph Waltz. Sorry, got that wrong. Lea Seydoux.
Yep.
Ben Whishaw.
Yep.
Rami Malek.
Yep.
Maybe top billing because he's the bad guy, isn't he? With the funny accent.
Maybe.
I guess we'll see as we get nearer the time.
Well, I'm going to go see this on opening night, so I'll tell you then.
And Ana de Armas.
Yes.
So that's who
really
you can
good. Who was really good in Knives Out and was really good in Blade Runner 2049, even though... As discussed, wasn't a great film, but good cast.
Yes, so those are options you got. You could do an entire fantasy film with just, or more than one, if you wanted to like fully invested into...
Go fully into, Avengers Endgame on this.
Indeed. And coming out about a week apart, it looks like.
Between US, and
UK. So
I doubt that. You reckon it'll come out in the UK first?
Or maybe it might have like a long opening weekend, one of those.
Yeah.
I think it might be like opens on a Tuesday.
Be very careful of long opening weekends because they can cause issues with box office performance.
As in, you'll get a huge peak.
You'll get a massive jump.
And then they'll go down the chart. But now, it makes its money, but from an NFL
from
point
an
of
NFL
view, fewer weeks
be
in the chart.
Because we work on time, we don't work on money.
Indeed.
So if it opens on a Tuesday... then it has a stonking week. It comes in as one, and
so like,
suddenly it drops down to five.
You're going, if you're playing the game, you're going to put someone from this film in. It's just who?
Yes.
And how many?
Yes. If I think I am going to do the sensible thing. I'm going to go fully all in on the
on
entire
everything.
Cast. Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe
and I think
the same.
So. And I think a lot of people will. I think last year...
But of course
year,
then, if there's eight people to pick, you'll have like... You've got to decide, do I just have a fancy film with just a couple of people in?
Or do you?
Or do I then stop them with some other films and see what's coming? So anyway,
see what's coming
lots
out.
Of fun to be had there if you're
so
going to put two films out
simultaneously. There's a lot to think about on this.
But maybe you could get some of those awards for like super high earnings.
Yep. Yep.
Actually, this could be it.
This could be
this
your
could
chance.
Be the week to do it because I've never got that 60
I've
million
never got
in a
60
week.
Million platinum. Award either. This, I want that platinum. I've only got I've got a PlayStation.
So
I've
I now need to work
platinum.
This out backwards. I need to work backwards to like what make sure I don't put films out that are earning before. And this is coming out beginning of April. First week of or second week of April.
Ooh.
So we the
time's ticking.
The clock is ticking on this one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Ooh,
so
I'm kind of excited.
Ooh. So it's going to make an absolute metric shed load of money, but the question is it going to be enough? Because frankly, the world is not enough. And
stop it.
What?
No.
No.
Leave it.
And I don't know whether I think you're right. I don't think they're gonna kill off Bond. I think they will leave him to die another day. So
don't do that.
You know, because I think you need to be peaceful on it. You just gotta, you know, live and let live as far as I'm concerned. Or in fact live and let die as it might be.
I'm really annoyed because I can't think of any
either
of these
way,
ones to do.
Either way, that cast selection scares the living daylights out of me and I'm not entirely sure which way I'm gonna go.
Okay.
But you know, you just gotta keep a golden eye on the cast.
Oh,
make sure you know what you're doing.
Please stop. Well,
okay. All right.
Enough.
Okay.
Let's wrap this up. We are done. That's all the films for this month we're going to talk about.
We're done. We can't do any more.
Yes.
Okay. Fine.
Important picks coming up. I think this is going to be we're starting to see the beginning of the blockbuster season.
This is it. Yeah. I think this is now where it's going to start stretching out, but it's got to be for me, it's got to be Trolls and No Time to Die.
Yeah.
They've got to be the cast you got to go for. Trolls, they are ridiculously cheap right now. We're going to have to make some changes. But, yeah.
Ooh. Hey, maybe it's just a little bonus for people who actually tune into the podcast.
Well, all 15 of them.
Exactly, yeah.
Cool. Right then, we need to go.
Yep. That's it for this month.
We will be back in two weeks' time. Yep. For the main
for
podcast.
May.
I know.
Is it May? March? Yeah. May? April. For the main April episode. Blah.
Yeah, I know.
Time is confusing.
It's time, yeah. It's just weird. Just tomorrow never dies for me. But anyway, let's crack on.